Okay, so I'm the next speaker. Good morning for the late comings. My name is Monica Osoris Hampton. I'm from University of Florida, and we're gonna go from Salinas back to Florida. And I don't have a video, sorry. but I'll try to talk a little bit about compost, which is gonna be another alternative to cover crops to improve soil health. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about compost quality guidelines for organic vegetable production. And I'm located in Immokalee, which is a major winter producing area in the East Coast, where everybody has snow in the northeast of the United States, the most popular area in the country. I have 70 degrees and we can produce a lot of stuff. Not like broccoli, we are trying, but a lot of the warm season vegetables, tomatoes, peppers, squash, beans, strawberries, watermelons, melons, and potatoes, and on and on and on. And another alternative, as I mentioned, is gonna be compost and compost quality. And a lot of people ask me a lot of questions about compost as an alternative of a cover crop. And I think these are all tools in the toolbox. And we don't have a lot of guidelines when it gets to compost and organic production. So I'm gonna go over some of the guidelines. They are in the NOP and maybe another organic production systems, and then I will come up with my own one, which is the one that I present to the local growers, either organic or conventional. So the main question for me at the beginning is, what is composting? And there are tons of definitions in compost, but I like this one, and I will present the definitions under the NOP, the National Organic Program, as well in a little bit. But it's a biological decomposition process where microorganisms, and that's the major thing, convert raw organic material into a very relatively stable humus-like materials. And the key there is biological and microorganism. If you take into consideration these two things, you can really compost really well. You don't need any external microbial addition if you follow the compost principles. And I teach that course as well to growers that they want to compost. But if you follow these two things, that's the key. Now, compost is primarily a soil amendment product. They might improve soil quality and enhance nutrient use efficiency, and therefore improving the productivity of the organic vegetable crop. And a lot of the organic people quite understand that because it ties really, really well with the definition of organic production system. But the conventional vegetable growers are understanding quite a bit of that, and I will present some pictures of our organic, composting facilities in our area here. So you probably are very familiar with the National Organic Program. For the ones in the room, they are not. It's a national program that was established under the Production Act in 1990 in the Farm Bill, but it was finalized as a national rule in October 2002. So we've been under that rule for quite a bit, like 14 years now. And just the principle of an organic production system, basically certified organic, mean that nothing artificial went into the food as was grow or processed. So if you take into consideration that into composting, it quite fit well in what is composting and what compost can do in this system. And it's an organic production system that is managed in accordance to the act and regulations under the NOP, the National Organic Program, to respond to site-specific condition by integrating cultural, biological, mechanical practice that foster cycling of nutrients promote ecological balance and conserve biodiversity. So compost really wrap around all these aspects. Now, there are several standards. I will talk about the NOP, which is very popular in many countries. They follow the NOP in the United States, but there are many other international organic standards that regulate composting and the use of compost. You can find the NOP for those ones that are not very familiar under that link, but there is many other ones. For example, and there is an European one, there are a Japanese one, there are one in Canada, Swiss, and there are international standards. So depending how you are producing and what are you going to be using this compost, you need to check for those guidelines that will regulate compost and composting under those rules. So just to give you a little bit of summary, under the National Organic Program, organic material need to be composted. And this is a overview of a picture of our one. We have three facilities in our area. This is about a 60-acre facility. They produce compost for our local growers, and they produce an organic compost under the NOP. So the growers can really basically ask for the certification, and there are very few things they need to follow to produce organic compost. But they do it very well, are very simple, and I will go over what the NOP require to call organic compost. So in the NOP, to call it organic compost, they have their own definition, and you need to follow that definition. And basically is a product of a managed process to which microorganisms, which was very similar to my definition, break down plant and animal materials into a more stable form suitable for the application in the soil. Compost might be produced through a process. They might combine plant and animal, and they require a specific carbon-nitrogen ratio to start the composting process, which is pretty easy to do. When you are mixing this plant and organic and animal material, or sometimes just regular plant material, you can be within that carbon-nitrogen ratio, 25 to 40. So what you do, you send it to a lab, and I will mention the labs. They are certified labs. They just do compost and compost material, and you have to file that under the NOP that you certify you are within this carbon nitrogen ratio. Also, they provide a definition for windrow composting, and they require a heating process. That heating process, it will take care of all the animal and human and plant will kill basically a lot of the nematodes, weed seeds, and human pathogens and plant pathogens. So if you are in a windrow type of composting system, you have to have an average of 131 Fahrenheit for 15 days. This is the beginning of the composting cycle, and you need to turn the pile 5 times. That is a required by the law. And I will tell you in a minute where that come from, and it's been a lot of research done in that heating process to be able to sterilize your material before you use it in the field. Now, if you have an in-vessel system, what it means that you are not turning, you have an other mean to aerate the pile and produce the heat that is required, you need to have the same heating, 131 minimum to up to 170, but only for 3 days. So it's much shorter time that you are required to sustain that heat. So that is pretty relevant when you are composting. And that is coming from biosolid composting, which is ironic because in the NOP, they don't allow biosolids, but they borrow some of the laws and regulations for biosolids that has been very extensive research. And they borrow that and they put it into the NOP because that will require the composting heating process, the turning in the first 15 days, and the five turnings, and they will eliminate all the pathogens and weed seeds. So it's pretty simple. First of all, you start with the right carbon-nitrogen ratio, and then you go to the heating process to eliminate the pathogens. So that's all you need to be called organic compost. You cannot use biosolids within the organic system when you are using compost as a source of nitrogen. And if you look at the NOP, they have what is called a P under biosolids, and it covers every aspect of biosolids that you can think. Because a lot of people think of biosolids in something semi-wet or kind of dry, but also cover a lot of the liquid part. They come in from the sewage treatment system in every city. So it's pretty comprehensive. You can now use it. Now, this is what required under the NOP. If you look at other rules, might require they will be more extensive. However, over the years, I come up with my own compost guidelines. And because they are limited and non-comprehensive what the NOPs require, I believe that we need a lot more to address the potential positive and negative effect of compost application into fruit and vegetables. And a lot of people, they think they use compost and they will have positive results, but it's not the case. You can have devastating negative results even if you follow the NOP rules. So you really, really, we really need more comprehensive guidelines. So in my area, when somebody asked me to provide them with some inputs, what type of compost they need for their application, I'm pretty, how can I say it? I have a lot of rules in terms of compost quality. And I'll present some of those ideas to you today. So when somebody come to me and say, hey, I want to apply compost, you need to ask yourself one question. What is the main purpose of the compost application? So I ask the person, why do you want to apply compost to your production system? Number one, it can be, okay, I want to apply compost as a soil conditioner, which will increase the soil organic matter, improve the structure of the soil, stimulate biological activity, reduce bulk density, and improve water use efficiency, nutrient use efficiency, just pretty generic, like you will do a cover crop. Now the second one, some people, especially in organic system, they want to apply compost as a nutrient source. Now, the nutrient part is in general very low, especially with nitrogen, because you need to go through a lot of microbial degradation to be able to come up with, at the end, nitrate. So if you are looking to apply compost as a nutrient source, you might be over applying phosphorus, for example. And a lot of areas in the country, for example, us in South Florida, we have plenty of phosphorus. In fact, we mine phosphorus. So do we really want to apply more phosphorus? Although the concern with phosphorus is pretty minimal because the majority of our soils are very high in pH. But nevertheless, you are accumulating phosphorus. Remember, you need very little phosphorus to grow a vegetable, 20 to 30 pounds, and the pH is very high. So the concern for leaching of phosphorus is pretty minimal. You only will have it in certain production areas where you have very fine, clear sand, that we do have that. But in general, you need to quantify nutrient coming from compost application, either if you are in an organic system or you are in a conventional system. So ask the people, they come to you, okay, what do you want to use this compost? As a soil conditioner, or you're going to use it as a nutrient source? But in any case, you need to quantify the nutrient part. Now, another good idea as a compost guideline is to get your compost testing. What is the guideline for that? you need to take a composite sample from you, the producer, or maybe you are producing it yourself, and getting it analyzed. And the analysis need to be every 20,000 tons or every 3 months, whatever comes first. You need to have that on records. Also, when you send in this compost sample to the lab, you need to use a recommended compost testing methodologies. And you need to really send it to a lab. They follow procedures, and we have procedures. It's called test methods for examination of composting and compost. A lot of people know these, and it's TMEC. They were produced long time ago for the U.S. Composting Council, and there are several. If you go to the website, you can get a list of certified labs. They will follow those procedures, because testing compost is not like testing soil or testing tissue. It's a totally different set of procedures how to analyze anything in composting, and I will go over all the analysis that you can do. So these two things are pretty important. Okay, so really my guidelines after many years of research and using compost and commercial, organic, or conventional. Number one, it will be pH. There is a pretty big range here, and I'm putting it in the last column, the test method for examination of composting and compost, part of the methodology that you need to follow when you are testing this, just for your knowledge, they need to be between 5 and 8. And in general, compost, well managed pile and a mature compost isn't the high side of the pH. And a lot of people get pretty scared about that, but that's what you need. If you have a compost that is low in pH, might be immature, and it will have a lot of acid produced by bacteria early in the composting process, and that is a lot of acetic, propionic, and butyric acid, and they can kill your crop. Okay, so you need to make sure things are in the low side of they are not in the low side of the pH. Soluble salt concentration less than 6, depending of if you are using transplant or you are seeding your crop, and is all related to the source of material that you are composting. For example, food waste might have very high concentration of salt, so you really need to be careful when you are seeding crops with that material, or you need to be diluted it or composted with something else, for example, yard trimming waste, or use other material that will lower the salt content for that material. Moisture, between 30 and 60%, and this is basically related to either price, you are carrying water, or be related to, for example, spreading and spreading equipment. So it cannot be too dry, but it will be too dusty. It cannot be too wet. It will spread really bad in the field. Organic matter, 30 to 65%. Make sure if your organic matter is very low, you might be applying a lot of sand. And a lot of composting in South Florida, yard waste, this not require a pad to be composed. They do it in sand. So where they are turning the windrows, they are picking up quite a bit of sand. So the bulk density is quite high. So be careful with that, because you might be buying sand and applying sand or soil particles instead of applying organic matter. And that what you want is organic matter. Now the next concept will be stability. Make sure that the compost is fully composted, because if it's not stable, when you put it in the ground, it will rob nitrogen, and the plants will be standing. And a lot of people call me and say, hey, you know, they are pretty excited about using compost, but the plants are standing and yellowing, and they are wondering, what the hell happened here? Well, normally it's going to be standing, and it's like coming from, once you put it in the ground, it will release the nitrogen eventually, but it's not going to be on time for your vegetable. So you need to have a stable compost. Maturity is related to short-chain fatty acid, like acetic, propionic, and butyric acid, and it's pretty bad, actually. You can use that to kill weeds, and I did my PhD in that. So you don't want to use that type of compost in the bed. You might use it between the beds and then till it into the bed at the end of the cycle for the next crop, but never in the bed. They have what is called Solvita mature level. It's a test that you can buy very readily, and you can test the stability and maturity of your compost. No big deal. And physical contaminants. A lot of people had, for example, yard waste, and they bag it, so you get a lot of plastic. So it doesn't look really well. The next one is contaminant, and I call it chemical contaminant, and it's related to heavy metals. There is a lot of strict regulations here, and you have the basically government regulation that affect the 50 states of the nation, but also you might have a state regulation related to specific metals. For example, in Florida, we have five metals that are regulated, and I put it, for example, cadmium, I put it in parentheses, DEP, okay? That when you have a state regulation, it's gonna be stronger than the government regulations. So you need to be aware of that. And sometime in a specific cities or county, you might have another regulation in terms of metals. So you need to be very aware, where are you composting? For example, if in Miami-Dade, we have not only the government regulation, the state regulation, but I have a county regulation. So, and these metals, and basically is arsenic, cadmium, copper, lead, mercury, molybdenum, nickel, selenium, and zinc. They are the majority of them. You might have a specific one depending where you are, but that's the majority of them. And finally, you have the biological contaminant, and it's related to fecal coliform. They have to be less than 1,000, most probable number, per gram. And the salmonella is less than 3, most probable number, per 4 grams. So that is basically my rules and regulations. And in conclusion, I have you need to have a compost analysis result should be provided by the compost suppliers and have it on record. You have to have a maturity test perform on site after the delivery of the compost, and before delivery, the supplier should provide the following documentation: a statement that the compost meet federal and state health and safety regulation, and a statement that the composting process has met the time and temperature requirement. Remember the 131 Fahrenheit for 15 days and turn 5 times. And a copy of the lab analysis that should be less than 4 months old, performed by a seal of testing assurance certificate lab, provided there is a list of the US CC, and verify that the compost met all the physical, chemical, and biological requirements described about for the physical, chemical, and biological contaminant that you might find in composting. So I want to open it now for question and answer session, like Eric did, and I try to summarize everything that I know about composting in these few minutes. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes. Or comments?
I have a question.
Sure.
What about the feed materials going in? I know that composted mushrooms sometimes have materials in it that are not allowed in
Yeah, I didn't talk about sourcing of material for composting for a specific reason, because in my opinion, a lot of the certifiers, they are pretty flexible about that. So there is no national rule in regard to that. you can talk to your certifier and ask them, hey, you know, these are the source of organic material that I have for locally for composting. And if you present it in such a way, they might allow you to use it. Like, for example, yard waste. Yard waste is the only source of organic material that we have in the Immokalee area. And they allow them to use in an organic system as long as they follow the NOP. So they're pretty flexible in that regard.
Well, I just said that because we got Dengfile certified for using composted mushroom waste.
Uh-huh.
And it was because they were using something, the people who were making the compost, the mushroom substrate actually had something that was not allowed in the organic system. So people who are purchasing compost need to be really careful to be accessing. If the compost isn't certified organic, they need to be careful as to what went into the making of the compost to be sure that it meets the requirements of their system.
Absolutely. They need to check with the certifier, and they need to approve that material is okay for your production system. 100% with you. And that, but in my opinion, in general, they've been very flexible in our area because we don't have other sources. So I don't know that specific one for mushroom, but yeah, you need to be pretty aware of that. Yes. Yeah, she talked about the maturity test is a very good idea. And you know what? We've been learning our lessons out of disasters.
Yeah,
we have this composting facility in Immokalee, and they've been doing it for many, many years. But now, that supplier is top. So we are opening other composting facilities, and people, when they come into the composting, they think, oh, this is a piece of cake, you know, I can do it, no problem. But, you know, they run into the issue of maturity because they get paid to receive that material, and they get paid selling that material. So you get paid twice. So it looks pretty good on paper, right? But they forget that composting requires time. It's like making wine, okay? Well, not really. It's a science and it's an art. That's what I'm referring to. So really, it requires time. And you cannot accelerate that process. A lot of people come to me and say, hey, you know, I have this microbial liquid that I can use in my composting process, and I can make compost in 20 days. I'm like, no. I'm always skeptical of that. But yes, we learn from major disasters of applying compost and produce stunting plants or even kill a crop. Okay, good question. There is a level of organic matter which allow you, to tailor composting and within a farm, right? Higher level of organic matter, lower level of organic matter. When you look at organic matter, it's a very stable, complex carbohydrates, or, you know, high molecular weight that make organic matter. Okay, that is good for physical properties and of the soil, but it's not a source of biological carbon, having high organic matter content, because the complex of high molecular weight in the soil. So to have more biological activity, you not only require high organic matter content, but you require soluble carbon. So I would say that any soil can be a candidate for using compost or a cover crop, because you are applying soluble carbon in it, which is missing for biological activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is there a benefit actually adding more organic material to that?
Well, for the physical part, no, because you have quite a bit. But for the carbon source, you might have a good source for the biological activity. Okay, but when people ask me which field are the best candidate, I would say start for the porous sand that you have with very low organic matter content. So you tailor, because money is an issue. You need to pay for the compost, you need to pay for the transportation, and you need to pay for the spreading.